The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show. He's on the other side of the glass, but he'd be welcome to come on this side of the glass. But the problem would be the equipment is on his side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition on this August the 7th, 2019. You're listening to Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, Rachel Sedgwick is with me in studio, TUSD board member who was elected to the board in 2016, and she has an announcement right off the bat to make about her political future. First of all, Rachel, good to see you. Thanks for being on the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here. It's always a pleasure.
What have you decided about your future political plans?
Well, I have decided, for one, as we just sort of verified, that I'm not going to be running for the TUSD board again. I've decided instead I'm going to run for a seat on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Yes, and let TUSD off.
Now, a couple of questions. You're in supervisorial district. You're going to go against...
It's District 5.
So District 5, that's Richard Elias's
seat. He's the incumbent.
Yeah, and he's been there for a long time, lots of roots in the community. You'll be running as a...
Independent,
okay.
Yeah, which is part of my, I think, you know, politics have taken us in one direction, and I feel like it's time for us to focus a little bit more on the issues instead of, I think party rhetoric tends to take center stage. And so I would like to bring in some new focus, renewed focus on the issues, and bring in, some innovative ideas and work with some of these people who I've met sitting on the TUSD school board, and recognizing that the issues that we face in TUSD, the number one issue really is poverty. And as a school board member, it has been truly a pleasure to embrace the challenge of trying to put more money in the classroom and bringing in new leadership and doing everything we possibly can. But understanding, recognizing now that poverty is this is the biggest issue that TUSD faces, that our public schools are facing, and it's the Board of Supervisors that is really the board that's tasked with economic development and in our community. And I have a lot of ideas about things that we can do, and I've met a lot of people in sitting on the TUSD board that are ready to work together. We just need to get some of these local officials out of the way.
Has it been a disappointing experience for you on the school board? Did you think it would be a little bit different? And when I say a little bit different, maybe folks getting along a little better?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There were definitely challenges I did not anticipate and probably couldn't have, until you're on a board, like a school board, difficult to really understand what board members experience. I had hoped that we would be a little bit more effective at focusing on the issues and bringing about just a little bit more change. I think that, again, politics, they tend to muddy the waters, if you will, that usually it's not Republicans versus Democrats, that sort of thing, that it really is about students, and that if we can focus on our students and their academic achievement levels, I think we would have experienced more progress over these past few years. But I will say also the board, when it comes to making policy, we do, that's obviously that's what we do. We set the budget. But when it comes to really making change in a district, it's got to be up to the administration. And I think to that end, we did a good job in bringing in a new superintendent who has been, slowly bringing in his new team, his superintendent leadership team, and really changing up the way we do things in the district. I think what I've learned when I first got on the board, I thought that I could change it all. I could change it all in a day,
right.
and I could change it all by myself. And that's not how the world works. And so it's been truly educational, really wonderful to see, to understand how cities and towns, schools, districts work, and how people work together, and how the product that we have right now is a product of all of our, you know, desires coming together.
We had Dr. Stegeman on the board, on the show a week or so ago, and he's saying the personality is still getting in the way of a lot of these board meetings. It's still personality driven, that board.
It is, to a large extent, and it really is quite disappointing. None of us is, I don't think any of us is, we're not awful people, and we don't really know each other that well. And that's, so I put it back on politics, that it's more of an idea that I think, you know, gets in the way rather than actual person or people. But you know, Dr. Stegeman, I think, continues to be someone who is very easy to work with. I think all board members, we tend to view him as someone who we can each work with, I think, most of us. And so that's been a pleasure, and I've learned a lot, you know, from board members that I've worked well with and not so well with. All of it has been very educational.
This is still, Rachel Sedgwick, a very troubled school district, isn't it?
In some ways.
I'm talking about enrollment mainly. That's a huge issue.
It is a huge issue. It is a huge issue, and, you know, if I had my way, we would have changed more. We would have changed things more drastically. I continue to think that the dwindling enrollment numbers, the fact that we have a negative enrollment number, really shines on the TUSD's performance, the way we operate the district. However, it's come, I recently realized that there's not consensus on the board. We don't have a majority of board members, I don't think, who agree that if TUSD did things differently, our enrollment numbers would be different. I still hear from a lot of people in TUSD, and including on the board, that actually TUSD is doing everything really, really well. And the reason why we continue to suffer is because of the state or matters that are outside of our control. I disagree. I don't accept. I think it's a terrible excuse. And I think that we could change things around. And I've made, you know, I just as an example, I've made lots of recommendations during school board meetings. And they often fail, you know, 3-2, because there's not the willingness to make some drastic decisions to put money in the classroom.
I going back to the enrollment, are there any current numbers since school has started? Have you heard of any numbers being out there on the current situation with enrollment?
No, the thing about these numbers is that they tend to jump up and down until those first 100 days are really over.
Right.
Because there was, you know, very positive talk that actually it looked like we had not lost as many students as we thought we would. And then, no, here the opposite. So I don't know. I think it's best to just wait and see what really happens with those numbers. But I will tell you, very positive this year. We haven't seen the news articles, and I'll knock on wood, about HVAC machines breaking down. We've got 30 new buses on the road. They are all, you know, 2018, 19 buses. These are brand new. So our students, you know, they've got their new buses. We have been going out of our way to make sure that the air conditioning systems are working, to make sure that facilities are in place. We have, our operations team is amazing.
Yeah, you're right, because usually the first week of school you hear the horror stories about something is terribly broken. They're like, there's a school that doesn't have any kind of air conditioning. You're right. They're,
none of those.
This might be the first time
That's it.
In many years, now that I think about it, that we're off to a pretty good start. As far as
that's right,
no negative publicity. Teachers in the classroom, we're doing pretty well there.
We're doing much better this year than we've ever done before. You know, again, the superintendent, I think what he has done really well and what the board has helped him to do is focus on five major areas, and the one of them is definitely highly qualified teachers in the class. We what touches on that is the salary, and TUSD managed to, our salary schedule looks better than all of the other districts. Mm-hmm. We got our teachers more dollars than every other district. And so we're doing a good job compared to other districts. I maintain that if we continue to use Arizona school districts as the standard, as the end all be all for what is best, then we're not going to get out of this sort of death spiral, if you will, that we're in Arizona with teachers. I think we need to start comparing ourselves to districts in other states. So I would do more to raise the salary. But yes, Dr. Trujillo and the current administration, we have all of our classrooms, have highly qualified teachers, except for, I believe there's less than 100 classrooms in the whole district, where, of course, we have 86 schools, mm-hmm. probably 8,000 or 9,000 class, so less than 100 is really not bad.
All right, Rachel Sedgwick will stick around for a second segment. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. She has decided not to run for another four-year term on the board, on the TUSD governing board. Instead, she is focusing her political aspirations on running as an independent in District 5 for Pima County Supervisor. And of course, that seat has long been held by the chairman of the board of the Pima County Supervisors, Richard Elias. Have you heard of any folks who might be thinking of running on the TUSD board for now what will become your open seat? Heard any names out there?
I have, yes. And I think that there is a sense in the community that there may be a lot of turnover on the school board.
Really?
This year. Mm. And could be that it's time.
Mm-hmm.
I personally am not, as you can see, I campaigned on bringing in new leadership. Got onto the board, surprised everyone, including myself. We brought in the new leadership, and now I would like to see the administration do its thing.
Okay.
And the voters will continue to form and reform the TUSD school board.
Mm.
It wouldn't surprise me if three seats were uncontested.
Wow.
But that is just purely my prediction. I have not spoken with anyone else about that. But I have spoken with some candidates that are out there. And
do you want to give us some names, or? Or would you rather not?
Well, they have not agreed
quite yet to run.
We're looking.
We'll talk some more with Rachel Sedgwick after we take our break. But right now, Rachel, I need to talk, and I need and want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. Do you like bakery goods?
I love bakery goods.
Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle, located up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. Have a great sandwich. How about a brownie for dessert? That sounds really good. And if you'd like to do breakfast, they're open each morning 6:30, and the grill will be ready to go. All those great bakery items go along with your eggs and hash browns and whatever you'd like, the pancakes, blueberry, or chocolate chip. Very, very good. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, and there's also a link at BuckmasterShow.com, not only on my website to Mona's, but all of our great sponsors. We'll be back with Rachel Sedgwick after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is
is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, Tucson's trusted news talk voice. We're with you each weekday during the noon hour on the Buckmaster Show. Rachel Sedgwick is with me, member of the TUSD Governing Board. She was elected in 2016. She has decided that she will be focusing her political efforts on an independent run in District Number 5. She needs to gather just to get on the ballot, about, I think it's 5,000 signatures, right?
That's right.
So
yeah.
It's slowly but surely you've been out there gathering since last April.
That's right.
Yeah. A ways to go? Yeah.
Still got a long ways to go. Yeah. They make it very difficult to get independents on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Was there one overriding kind of issue that called you to take up the mantle of running for a supervisor seat?
It's economic development. You know, at the time I'm sitting on the TUSD school board and recognizing that poverty really, it is this gift that keeps on giving, if you will. It just, it undermines the effectiveness of so many systems, of every system. And our public school system is, you know, case in point, poverty. Students who come from poverty, they come in less prepared. Their parents have left less time to help them if they have parents. There's all of these issues that make what is a difficult thing, educating young people in schools, much, much more difficult. And so I started working in economic development. I was working at this National Law Center and studying developing nations and studying the laws and policies that hold entire economic organizations back. It holds back a city or a town, a state, a country, and
the poverty here is just, you feel overwhelming.
It is overwhelming, and it is, we can address the issue, and we there are things that we can absolutely do about it. And so as I was studying these developing nations and learning about economic development and the policies you want to see in place to make to really develop a place economically, and seeing that they're not in place in Pima County, and that we have a lot in common with some developing nations, the way things operate in Pima County. And so I thought, okay, this is something I can really help. And once again, I think that it goes toward leadership in Pima County. We've had the same individual running the county since 1994, who was part of the county for a number of years before that. And it seems like Pima County little has changed since, you know, the early 2000s, maybe.
So you're just hoping for a change in direction.
If we had a different board majority, they would bring in a new county administrator. And I think that you would see some real change very, very quickly.
Let's go to the live line. We have Matt with us on the live line at 790-2040. Matt, do you have a question for Rachel?
Yeah, you know, Rachel, obviously when you were elected, you were the surprise candidate to win. I remember a lot of people calling me asking who you were. and now you've had that time to be on the TUSD board. I agree with everything you say about economic development being the number one effect on education. So the question is, if you get to the county, you already answered my sort of first question, which is about the county administrator. So you've already declared your position on that. So I'll ask about something specific. The county just sort of passed on vaping. Where would you be on the vaping issue, raising it from 18 to 21, as they will be taking that up again, apparently, in the future? Thank you. Bye.
You know, it's a really interesting question. It's one that I would have to do a little bit more research on to give you a truly, you know, a well-informed answer. I think that I see why raising the age would be a good thing. I know that vaping is very dangerous, especially for young people, and the amounts of nicotine that are in these tools. Delivery system is, mm-hmm. Is downright poisonous. At the same time, I'm not sure that, you know, making something harder to get, I would really want to read just a little bit about how other jurisdictions have handled the matter, and maybe what are some of the outcomes from 18 to 21 for vaping. It may not be a bad idea, but again, I would really have to read a little bit more about the repercussions.
What is the overriding issue now facing your board? Is it currently the debate over what's called family life education, or sex, what we used to call sex ed? Is that the big issue right now?
It's probably one of the bigger ones. It's up and coming. It's definitely on our...
Your radar.
On the radar, and, you know, understandably so. People are very nervous about what you're teaching their children, and particularly about what we're teaching them about their own bodies and sexuality and all of these topics that are so very touchy, ha, 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 ha. But they're, you know, they're contentious issues that parents are very concerned about. And so I hope that, you know, this committee that was appointed 5 years ago, that began its work 5 years ago, has done a really thorough job. It's a committee that was made up of people that believe all sorts of things. And I believe this final product is something that the community can digest and accept. And I don't think that it is going to be contentious. I hope that, you know, that all the board members will, at least the way I feel is that it's important that all the community knows that we respect your viewpoint.
You're hoping for a unanimous, that all the board rallies around this. And so there's one voice that's going to be heard from the board when it comes to this
yes.
new guidelines.
That's it. And it's not about my opinion, and it's not about me getting my way with your kids. It's about all of us figuring out what's the best way to educate our young people to keep them safe and healthy to keep their bodies safe and healthy.
When will that come before the board? Is that coming up in a week or so?
August 13th, yeah, I believe it'll be on our... I believe it's on the upcoming agenda.
Okay. All right. About a minute and a half left to go. What's, for you personally, this experience has been an eye-opener. Is that safe to say? this board experience.
What I think is that if you want to make something happen, you absolutely can. You just do not give up. Don't take anything. Don't take things personally. Don't get upset. And just keep at it. Just keep at it. For example, with this operations deal, there was no bad news. There, nothing quote unquote sexy or glittery has happened. But we've been working behind the scenes, and it's been sort of a pet project of mine to make sure that none of those headlines come about. And so, that in my book, it's a real win. There is no trophy. There is no applause. There might not even be any notice. And that doesn't matter, because it, Yeah, we won. We did it.
All right. Rachel Sedgwick with us. Thank you, Rachel. It's good to see you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Rachel Sedgwick, who has been on the board since 2016, she will be leaving the board. She is not seeking re-election. Instead, she is focusing on gathering signatures to get on the ballot as an independent to run in District Number 5, Pima County Supervisors District Number 5. That's going to be the midway point of the Buckmaster Show, 10:30, The Voice, trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. We'll be back after we take the break, and we will, speaking of the Pima County Supervisors, we will be talking with Ramon Valadez. He's in the wings, ready to go on the program next, right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. You're on 10:30, The Voice, your source for trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. It's Buckmaster. We've been on the air here on the radio since January of 2011. So by my calculation, coming up in January, it'd be 9 full years on the radio, and then we'll be launching into the 10th year. So that's pretty exciting. Almost 10 years on the radio. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many great places to stay. Several dozen recreation opportunities are listed there as well. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, it's a three-hour drive to a cooler place. Ramon Valadez with us in studio, Pima County Supervisor. Patrick Robles, also with me, a fine young man. Patrick now is full-time on the staff of Ramon Valadez in his district office. Ramon, you've been over to Silver City, haven't you?
Absolutely. Patrick's part-time.
Oh, he is part-time. Okay. Part-time, but welcome, Patrick, to the world of Pima County Supervisors. But you were an intern, right?
Yes, I was. I've been interning for the past 3 summers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead, Ramon, about Silver City. And our friends in Grant County.
It's a wonderful place to visit. Just a whole new set of experiences. As you know, going to different places is a great way to learn about them.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, you are so active on Facebook. I'm one of your Facebook friends. You must have close to 5,000 maxed friends. Are you almost there?
I'm almost there, Bill, but sometimes I get these little Russian bots who also try to be my Facebook friend.
I'll tell you, I'm very impressed with Patrick, and this is kind of the first time we've really had him on the Buckmaster Show. In any kind of formal capacity, he's come visited before when Ramon has come to the station. But Patrick is a guy who is just so active in politics. He was the student body president at Sunnyside, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you were all over the place. You were like Mr. Student Body President. I mean, you're very vocal on Facebook about issues that are very important to you, and you want to get involved. It wouldn't surprise me at all if you became, like, at the University of Arizona, the president of the student body or something. You've already gotten involved with politics, and school hasn't even begun over there for two weeks, correct?
Yep, you're right on that.
So what is it that's driving you? Where did all this come from, this political drive for a young man?
So I was in sixth grade at Challenger Middle School right there on South 12th and 6th Avenue. And I joined a program called We the People.
Okay.
This is a public middle school. And I walk into the classroom and I see this lady with crazy hair. Her name's Miss Norma Jeannie Guerra.
Mm-hmm.
And in that program, we learned about the U.S. Constitution, the government, and modern-day issues and how it affects the lives of everyday people. We then are tested and asked questions by judges in the county, by constitutional attorneys, on our knowledge on these constitutional and governmental issues. And right there and then, I realized that we, the people, really are capable.
How old were you at this time?
I was 11, 12 years old.
Wow.
And it wasn't just me. There were also 11, 12, 13-year-olds who were also learning and understanding these concepts.
Mm-hmm. And are your parents politically active?
No, my parents are not politically active.
Huh. I wonder where all that comes from.
I think it's just that realization that, you know.
I kind of think back to the only political career I ever had was in elementary school, where I ran for the student body president. And our little slogan was, "Don't pass the buck, vote for buck."
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I love that.
Isn't that great? So that was my only experience with politics.
Did you win?
Yes, I did. All right. Ramon Valadez, so many issues. We'll talk some more, Patrick, as we go through the hour here, or half hour. Yesterday, Pima County Board of Supervisors on August 6 approved an intergovernmental agreement with the City of South Tucson to provide county assistance in economic development areas. This is a very troubled city, South Tucson. What's this all about?
What's this all about, Bill? As many people may have remembered, is earlier this year, about a month ago, I think, maybe a month and a half ago, we actually came to an agreement with South Tucson where we fronted about $1 million. And as part of that agreement, they're going to be assessing a secondary tax to pay it back to the county taxpayers. But as part of that agreement was this GPLET. GPLET is really an economic development tool, just a tool right now.
Okay, that's an acronym for South Tucson's Government Property Lease Excise Tax.
Right.
And so this is a GPLET zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At Interstate 10 and South Interstate 10 and 6th Street, and its area bordered by 36 to the north, I-10 to the south, 6th Street on the west, and 4th Avenue to the east.
For people who know the boundaries of South Tucson, it's everything south of 36th Street, which is technically a commercial and industrial area. It's where the Spanish Trail is. For those of us who were born and raised here, it's the old Wood Brothers area. It's everything from the Greyhound part south to the freeway, from one side of South Tucson to the other. And part of, obviously, the city council is the one that for the South Tucson that actually declares the Jeep let. But obviously, they lack the technical expertise to be able to use it as like an economic development tool. So this is simply an agreement to actually work with them to develop it and be able to use it as a tool, particularly as the owners of the Greyhound Park try and figure out what other the next machination that that's going to look like, or actually sell it, and it can be used as economic development. Part of the reason we did that, Bill, is obviously we want to have sustainable, long-term, sustainably communities in Pima County, and South Tucson doesn't have a lot of places to grow. This is actually one of the areas that of possible growth for South Tucson. And if obviously they can use it to grow and bring more revenue towards the city coffers, then they'll be able to do the things they need to do, including improve public services as well.
They're so economically depressed in this one square mile city. And there's even been talk of that they may become a bankrupt city. I don't know how that would work. I'm told that there is precedent for declaring that a city can declare bankruptcy, but I don't even know how it would work.
Well, and that was part of the reason we entered into the agreement on the legal settlement as well, was simply because obviously the end result of a city going insolvent is that it becomes unincorporated. Well, if it's unincorporated, it becomes a county island. And then obviously we have to figure out what the future of South Tucson would be. But instead of doing that, we're trying to work with them proactively to make sure they don't get there and that they have opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise have.
Well, if they did become like de-citified or whatever the word would be, if they no longer became a city, they'd become an unincorporated area. They would then be part of Pima County.
Well, they're already part of Pima County.
They're part of Pima County, okay. But I mean, would they be part of the government or what?
We would be in charge of providing the services for that area as an unincorporated island.
Typically,
in Pima County, we don't really see unincorporated islands.
No.
Which, remember, Pima County is really unique, and we've talked about it in the past. Of the over a million citizens we have in Pima County, about 380,000 of which are in unincorporated Pima County, and the county has to provide urbanized services for those citizens. That makes us really unique amongst the other 14 counties, as well as really in the Southwest, because typically cities grow and take over those urbanized services responsibilities. But in our case, think about this. If the unincorporated Pima County was actually counted amongst the cities, it would be one of the top five largest cities in Arizona.
Really? That could bring in some nice revenue.
Law would also have to change.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ramon Valdez with us, Pima County Supervisor, and with us also in studio, Patrick Robles, a young man who is now part-time on the staff in Ramon Valdez's office. I know you've been deeply moved, as have many of us, Patrick, by the events that transpired on really a 13-hour period beginning in El Paso and then culminating with horrible news out of Dayton, Ohio. But it was a particularly bad week that kind of started in an area where I was working at one time in my career up in the San Jose and the Gilroy at the Garlic Festival. I covered that as a TV reporter many, many, many years, would cover that event. Great family event. There was horrible shooting there. And it's been a bad year for mass shootings.
Yes.
Very bad. But I mean, these events have really touched you, haven't they?
Yes. They really have. You know, whenever we see these mass shootings going on, I'm always frustrated. I'm always angry. But for the mass shooting that happened in El Paso on Saturday, that one hit different.
Why? Why did that hit different?
This one hit different because never did I ever believe that I would have a target on my back because of who I am, because of my culture, and where my family is from. That's why that mass shooter went to El Paso, because he wanted to kill those people for being Mexican Americans and for being immigrants. That's why this one hits different. We have targets on our back already because we're in public spaces. Now I've got a target on my back because of who I am. That's why it's different. It's frustrating, Bill.
I understand you're actually going to travel to El Paso to the memorial.
Yes, I'll be going on Saturday to El Paso. You know, I've been, my family's been watching the coverage, and I make sure that they do because, you know, when we see these victims, when we see these people who were affected by Saturday's mass shooting, I see us. I see my family. I see my Nana and Tata. I see my Tios and Tias who would be shopping at a Walmart on a Saturday morning.
All right, Patrick Robles, he'll stick around if you would like to join the conversation, 790-2040. Ramon Valadez, Pima County Supervisor, also with us. We're going to take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. We'll be right back after we hear from the great sponsors. We call them, it's a great partnership. They partner with Buckmaster, and they make this program possible. Please give them your support. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of bump music from the group America. The song Tin Man. Always liked that group, America. Anyway, we've got Ramon Valadez with us in studio, Pima County Supervisor, and we have Patrick Robles. Patrick's one of the, this is his first kind of formal debut appearance on the Buckmaster Show. I've known about this young man for several years because of his active Facebook postings. He's been all over Facebook. He's very opinionated, which he's a young guy with a lot of strong views, and I think that's great. And he's now, he was a student body president over at Sunnyside. He's now part-time over in Ramon's office. He, for a young guy, he is incredibly politically connected as far as he kind of lives and dies this stuff, don't you, Patrick? And we don't really know. We talked in the first segment where it all comes from, because his parents were not politically active, but he said he took a was involved in an activity when you were 12 years old that kind of turned you in that direction. And now at the U of A, you're going to study what else? Public policy, right?
Yep.
That seems like a pretty darn good fit. And I'm sure he'll be very active over at the UA as he becomes, you know, going through the freshman year and all those kind of those growing pains that go with freshmen. I'll share this story about my own freshman year at the University of Arizona, which was a long time ago. Well, I'll even say the year. It was 1965, and came out to the University of Arizona from Chicagoland, from the North Shore of Chicago, and was very homesick. You know, Tucson's different than the North Shore of Chicago. There's no lake. It was hot, and I was missing autumn, the colors of autumn, the autumn leaves and everything else.
What's that, Bill?
Yeah, what's autumn? Here in Tucson, don't we go from till it used to be Halloween, now it's like Thanksgiving before it gets cooler. Anyway, I called my parents and I said, I got to come home. I've had it with Tucson, had it with the U of A. I miss, you know, life back there. And my parents said, you're not coming home. You're staying put. You're going to grow up. And that, I'm glad they did. And I stayed for 4 years, got my undergraduate degree here. So Patrick, there will be growing pains. I can guarantee you.
I can feel it.
You have probably already felt it, right? Through some of the orientation.
Yes.
It's kind of disorienting, speaking of orientation.
Absolutely.
Right? What are your feelings?
I'm nervous.
Yep.
Yet I'm excited. I mean, I'm embarking on a new adventure that's going to open lots of doors.
You're 18, right?
I'm 18.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I need that extra level of education to, mm-hmm. you know, reach my goals to make a difference in this community.
Yeah. And I know you're so goal driven, but you know, you need to also save some time for some fun. I'm sure.
Believe me, I do, Bill.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Let's go back now to some, not that Patrick's issues aren't serious about as he gets ready for the U of A, but this is a very serious one, Ramon Valadez, about can you give us an update on how are things going over at the Pima County Juvenile Detention Center, a portion of which will be housing migrants. This is a portion of the juvenile detention facility that really has been underutilized, correct? I mean, it's an area that now is going to be housing the migrants. What's the update?
It actually hasn't housed anybody since January of 2009.
Is that right?
That's important to note as well. Actually, I toured it, I believe it was last week, so we could take a look at it. And the week before that, I got to see the Benedictine Monastery, where the asylum seekers were actually being housed by CCS earlier. At this point, they have actually assumed the lease. CCS has, so they have the keys, and they're moving in things. They're working with federal agencies. I think a lot of people think that that it will maintain as a detention center in and of itself.
A jail, in other
jail.
Words, right?
But actually the doors are unlocked. And I don't mean just the
people
interior.
Worry about the optics, you know,
right,
putting
right.
migrants in a jail.
And you know what? and the truth is, would all the three of us who voted in favor of this lease prefer to have a different place? Sure. The problem is there wasn't one that could be ready in time.
Mm-hmm.
There just simply wasn't. So we made it very, very clear during the board meeting where we considered this issue that the moment there's another site that can handle these criteria, we'll close it down. That's mm-hmm. not even a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that the Bishop Weisenberg had reached out to the county and asked to use that facility to house these asylum seekers. And if you had ever been to the Benedictine Monastery, a lot of the facility actually doesn't even have running plumbing.
No, they've got problems over there.
And it was falling apart on them.
People were going outside to the porta potties. And
in 100 degree weather.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
And the shower was a hose.
Oh, geez.
A hose surrounded by a canvas, a blue canvas that basically just had a valve. And then on top of that, because they had the actual security issues, if you had to use the restroom at night, you couldn't.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't.
Wow.
So CCS had actually told me
that was a problem.
Yeah. Had told me it was falling apart around them, and it wasn't until
It'd
I actually went
there. It'd be a
problem
for me, I'll tell you. Anyway,
for any man over 50, I
think. Thank you. Thank you.
Patrick doesn't know, but he's the
Patrick
only one.
Patrick doesn't know. All right. It's the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:56. We're going to talk a little bit about Rosemont for a minute or two, but first, sure. I want to tell people about, and gladly tell them about, Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Ramon Valdez, this is a beautiful area. It's a 13-acre site over by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And that 13-acre site has all of your plant needs, all the nursery needs, the gardening things, but now it has Zocalo. For years, Ramon, they were over by Country Club and Broadway. Mm-hmm. Really high-quality merchandise.
My wife and I actually went there in the spring to get some of our plants.
Yes.
They even have arts classes.
That's
and different
right.
types of classes.
They do.
It is a phenomenal, phenomenal place.
GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. Let's round out our discussion here with Ramon Valdez and Patrick Robles. Do you feel in some ways the board is validated their decision with the judge saying, let's put a halt to Rosemont temporarily, maybe forever, who knows? It's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The issue that Judge Soto actually brought out is an issue that was outlined in a, 2006 memo from the county that really asked
the 2009, I believe.
Asked the Forest Service to actually look at the validity of the unpatented claims that were being used by Rosemont, and they actually chose to punt.
Mm-hmm.
And so Judge Soto actually said, no, that these claims aren't valid. And by definition, that's now a problem in this whole complexity, legal complexity. So, yes, there is some level of vindication. Obviously, one of my issues, and you and I have talked about this in the past, is that my concern over the watershed in terms of Davidson Canyon and Cienega Creek, I don't see how they get around.
That was your big concern from the get-go on this thing.
And I told you, I'm an engineer by education as well, and they keep reassuring me that untested technology is going to keep it from being contaminated.
Well, we'll have to see how all of that goes. All right, Ramon Valdez. Thanks, Ramon, for coming in.
Thank you, Bill.
Always good to see Ramon Valdez, Pima County Supervisor, and Patrick Robles, who is now part-time on Supervisor Valdez's staff. And Patrick, we want to wish you all the best as you get ready for school. School starts when?
August 26th.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you
go. A few
go.
More weeks, but thanks, Bill, for having me on.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I know we can expect great things from Patrick Robles. And remember to treat us right. Treat the Buckmaster Show right, Patrick, as you post on Facebook about your experience today.
Oh, I will.
There you go. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show today. On behalf of Patrick and Ramon and Bob Dio, our fine engineer producer on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Stay tuned. Jennifer English, her show, Around the Table, on our table, coming up next on KVOI.